ringing of a bell is a traditional call to prayer. So we allow now the sound of this bell to call us to prayer, leading us into these 20 minutes of stillness and silence, a time in which we become more aware of our deepest desire, which is to hear Jesus speaking directly to us in a way that is personal, intimate. And so in this time of Lectio Divina, this divine reading, this sacred listening, we come with heightened expectation to hear the voice of Jesus for us through this gospel reading. The gospel passage that we are given each day is an opportunity to hear Jesus. We begin by setting aside these moments for prayer, taking a moment to be comfortable. Become aware now of your breathing. Don't try to change it, just be aware. And then maybe a couple of yawns might be a good way to begin filling your lungs with oxygen, helping you to relax. And now, gradually allow your breathing to deepen. As you breathe out all anxiety, all worry, all tension. And on the in-breaths, breathe in all the good things that Jesus is wanting to give you in these moments. Don't try at all to empty your mind. As Christians, we don't have to go anywhere else to meet Jesus. He comes to us in whatever we are experiencing in these hours, in these days, whatever feeling that we have, whatever burden we are carrying. Simply allow whatever is on your mind, whatever rests on your heart, to be there. While these thoughts, these feelings might be a problem for us, they're no problem at all for Jesus. No problem at all for Jesus, who is God with us. Our thoughts, our feelings, our reality is no obstacle to Jesus, who is wanting to work miracles of hope and health and healing in you in these moments. Become aware now of the people for whom you wish to pray, those for whom you are concerned. Be aware of those whose presence in your life is encouraging you and giving you hope, but also be aware of those people that you're finding more difficult. Again, be aware that the circumstances that are a part of your life today are no obstacle for Jesus. The things you are enjoying and the circumstances that are more difficult for you, all of this we allow to be in our minds and on our hearts as we prepare to listen for Jesus speaking to us. Allow your desire to hear Jesus grow. Allow your expectation to expand. Be aware of your need and return to this whenever you hear the bell, becoming more aware again of your desire. The Gospel reading for Easter Wednesday is John chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Two of the disciples of Jesus were on their way to a village called Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking together about all that had happened. Now, as they talked this over, Jesus himself came up and walked by their side, but something prevented them from recognizing him. He said to them, "What matters are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped short, their faces downcast. Then one of them, called Cleopas, answered him, "You must be the only person staying in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have been happening there these last few days." "What things?" he asked. "All about Jesus of Nazareth," they answered, "who proved he was a great prophet by the things he said and did in the sight of God and of the whole people, and how our chief priests and our leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death and had him crucified. Our own hope had been that he would be the one to set Israel free. And this is not all. 2 whole days have gone by since it all happened, and some women from our group have astounded us. They went to the tomb in the early morning, and when they did not find the body, they came back to tell us they had seen a vision of angels who declared he was alive. Some of our friends went to the tomb and found everything exactly as the women had reported, but of him they saw nothing." Then he said to them, "You foolish men, so slow to believe the full message of the prophets. Was it not ordained that the Christ should suffer and so enter into his glory?" Then, starting with Moses and going through all the prophets, he explained to them the passages throughout the scriptures that were about himself. When they drew near to the village to which they were going, he made as if to go on, but they pressed him to stay with them. "It is nearly evening," they said, "and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. Now while he was with them at table, he took the bread and said the blessing, and he broke it and handed it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he had vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us as he talked to us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" They set out that instant and returned to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 assembled together with their companions, who said to them, "Yes, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then they told their story of what had happened on the road and how they had recognized him at the breaking of bread. Now that you have heard the first reading of this passage, allow yourself again to deepen the stillness and the silence. Don't try to understand the reading. Simply invite Jesus to reveal to you whatever it is that Jesus wants you to hear in this gospel passage. Two of the disciples of Jesus were on their way to a village called Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking together about all that had happened. Now, as they talked this over, Jesus himself came up and walked by their side, but something prevented them from recognizing him. He said to them, "What matters are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped short, their faces downcast. Then one of them, called Cleopas, answered him, "You must be the only person staying in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have been happening there these last few days." "What things?" he asked. "All about Jesus of Nazareth," they answered, "who proved he was a great prophet by the things he said and did in the sight of God and of the whole people, and how our chief priests and our leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death and had him crucified. Our own hope had been that he would be the one to set Israel free. And this is not all. 2 whole days have gone by since it all happened, and some women from our group have astounded us. They went to the tomb in the early morning, and when they did not find the body, they came back to tell us they had seen a vision of angels who declared he was alive. Some of our friends went to the tomb and found everything exactly as the women had reported, but of him they saw nothing." Then he said to them, "You foolish men, so slow to believe the full message of the prophets. Was it not ordained that the Christ should suffer and so enter into his glory?" Then, starting with Moses and going through all the prophets, he explained to them the passages throughout the scriptures that were about himself. When they drew near to the village to which they were going, he made as if to go on, but they pressed him to stay with them. "It is nearly evening," they said, "and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. Now while he was with them at table, he took the bread and said the blessing, and he broke it and handed it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he had vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us as he talked to us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" They set out that instant and returned to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 assembled together with their companions, who said to them, "Yes, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then they told their story of what had happened on the road and how they had recognized him at the breaking of bread. Now that we have listened to this reading with renewed and open ears, speak to Jesus about what you have heard in this passage. We've heard the reading. We've meditated and pondered the words of Jesus. We have spoken to Jesus about what we have heard and about the reality of our own lives. Now we come to the next phase of our prayer, the contemplation. It's often easy for us to talk about what we speak to Jesus about, if we are expressing this to others. But contemplation can seem like a waste of time, because it's hard to put into words what's happening or not happening. The contemplation is a beautiful gift, because we are simply giving Jesus the gift of our time, without an agenda, without trying to understand, not trying to make sense of the reading, just giving of ourselves. In the same way that we might give of our time relaxing together with the one we love, simply a gesture of love. And so we give the responsibility for the usefulness, the productivity of this time completely to Jesus, knowing that we may not know what he says or does. Become aware of what sense you have of Jesus with you, listening to you, speaking to you. This prayer of contemplation is not our work, it is the work of Jesus. We simply gift the time, staying with our desire to hear his voice. This final phase of our Lectio Divina prayer is often known as the action stage. After our listening, our meditation, our contemplation, we might think, now what can I do? But perhaps it's better, again, to remain in stillness and silence, asking Jesus directly, Jesus, what are you inviting me to do? How are you calling me to change the way I think? How are you calling me to change my behavior as a result of this time of prayer? As this time of prayer draws to a close, let's not worry too much about what has happened or not happened in this time. The simple fact is that we gave this time as a gift to Jesus. Often when we think that nothing has happened, they are the very times when at a deeper level, much deeper than our consciousness, Jesus has been working in us and through us. And so we conclude this time with confident prayer. All glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.